Along with announcements made, I want to welcome each of you into our assembly that we can have time together to worship the God of heaven and to study from the pages of divine inspiration. Good to see Brother Tommy and Sister Shirley back. We sure appreciate them. Appreciate the oversight the elders here have. Thankful for their work. Thankful for the deacons and the good work they do in the kingdom. And we're so thankful for Brother Guy and Sister Ann. Brother Guy does such an outstanding job. Appreciate so much all that he does in encouraging us and the work in the kingdom. And he has done so much, and we're thankful for him. This morning, if you take your Bible, turn with me to 2 Chronicles and the 7th chapter. And when you come to the Old Testament, to 2 Chronicles and the 7th chapter, you'll recall that at this time, Solomon had been building the temple, and the temple was about to be complete. And then when the temple was completed, look what is stated in about verse 9. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart, for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. We've been making a study on Rottweiler Revival. And we've looked at the fact that many times, if we're not careful, as an individual or even as a congregation, we can get into a routine. And then that before long, that routine can get into a rut where we're not going through God's worship as we should, but we're just going through the motions. That our heart is not upon the God of heaven, our mind is not focused upon Him, but our mind may be on something else. And we've been looking at the fact that when we get in a rut, we need to get out of it now. And then last Lord's Day, we talked about what happens when the Spirit of God departs. But we're no longer in the Word. We're no longer worshiping as we should. Then spiritual death occurs. But this morning in our study, I want to talk about the pattern for revival. And I would that we would understand the word revival is a scriptural word. As Brother Al read just a moment ago from the 85th Psalm in verse 6, he said, Will thou not revive us again? What a beautiful prayer that man made on behalf of his people, that they would be woken up. And when we think about being revived, we need to understand that starts with the members of the body of Christ. That's where it begins. That one is awakened out of slumber. That one is now enthusiastic. That one now has zeal. That one is awake to the calling of Jesus Christ. In the book of Habakkuk in the 3rd chapter. Habakkuk said in verse 2, Will thou not revive thy work in the midst of the years? Habakkuk was praying during a time when there was going to be great problems. The Chaldeans were going to come in and overthrow the land. But he was still concerned about the work of God. He was still concerned about truth being taught. So this morning, the first thing I want us to put down is revival begins with the people of God. And we need to be a people that are awake to what we're doing. That we need to be a people that are zealous. I'll tell you one thing that I believe with all my heart. That a local church will grow when a local church is on fire for God. When our heart burns within us, when we truly love the Lord, that shows forth. And you can tell people who really love the Lord, you see it in their life, you see it in the way they conduct themselves. And I'll tell you, my friend, that's where we need to start. We need to have a revival right here with the people of God waking up and seeing our need. Not looking around at everybody else, but looking at self. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter. And you remember that when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus said in verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Notice He said, "Seek ye first" what? The kingdom of God. When you put God first, then all the other things will come in place. Then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Luke in the 14th chapter. And when Luke 14, you remember Jesus is talking at this time. And Jesus makes a statement in verse 33. "Likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." So I want us to understand that as the people of God, the first thing we have to do is put God in His right place. And God comes first, or we don't have God in the right place at all. Sometimes you'll see the sign, "God is my co-pilot." I want to tell you, God needs to be the pilot. God is in charge. God is the one leading. But I'll tell you something else. Some people get more upset if their name's left out of the church directory than they are if the name is left out of the book of life. I'll tell you something, my friend. To have your name in the book of life is the most important thing. In Philippians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, you remember that Paul, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, talked about rejoicing with those like Clement and those who were in the household that had their names in the book of life. And then he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Why, Paul? Paul said, because your name is inscribed in God's book. That is why I rejoice. But then I'll tell you something else. To have your name in the book of life, you have to be born again. Now, one may have been baptized, but I want to know, my friend, when you were baptized, do you realize that you were putting away the old man and you were being raised a new man? You were born again, as Jesus said in John 3:5. That one who is born of the water and the Spirit is born again. One who's put away the old life and has been raised to walk in newness of life has new purpose. They have a goal now. They're going to serve God, and God's going to come first. And the pattern God has laid out for us to have revival is to wake up and put Him first, not just on Sunday, but every day. Secondly, notice in verse 14 what it said. Notice that the writer of God has a statement made. He says, "If my people who are called by my name..." Now, under the old covenant, they were the Jews. They were the people of Abraham, the Israelite nation. But today, to be called by His name, we're nothing more than a Christian. I wear the name of Christ. I put my faith in Christ. I don't wear any other name except Christ's name. When someone says, "What are you?" I say, "I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ." And notice he says, "If my people who call by my name will humble themselves." Underscore the word humble. That's the pattern for revival. My friend, we need to first humble ourselves. There's way too much pride in our nation. There's way too much pride in local churches. Way much too pride sometimes amongst preachers. And I'll tell you what we need to be. Humble people. We need to be people that see their need. Take your Bible and look in the book of Proverbs for just a moment. And notice in the 8th chapter. In Proverbs chapter 8, there is a great statement made about pride. And it's one that many times I wonder if we really read. He said, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." You ever notice God hates pride? Pride and arrogance. And notice he calls them the evil way. You know, when one gets lifted up with pride, then one puts themselves above others and puts themselves in a place they ought not to be. Take your Bible and look in 1 Peter chapter 5. And when Peter was writing, you'll remember that Peter talked about being humble in the eyes of God. And notice he said in a very deliberate way, in verse 5, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now look at that statement very carefully. God resists the proud. That means God's against it. And then he says, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives what is needed. Now look at the very next verse in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves. I like that statement. I'm to do it myself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Now then, I understand that if we're going to have a revival, the first thing we need to do is see our need for God. And I do that by humbling myself. I humble myself and see that I cannot save myself. I cannot do anything by myself to make my life right except what God has told me to do. And then when I obey the precepts of God by His grace, I will be exalted. You know what that means in our local work? That means that sometimes what we need to do is be humble enough to do little things. You ever notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6? He said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. You know, that's what we need to do, is always give God the glory. Be big enough to be small enough to say, God, we need you for revival. But I'll tell you, notice another thing he said. Back in 2 Chronicles 7, not only does he say, humble yourself, but notice he says, pray and seek my face. Let's go and pray. You know, revival starts when we talk to God. And I'll tell you, that is of the utmost importance that we understand the power of prayer. Take your Bible and look in the Ephesian letter and the 6th chapter when the Apostle Paul was writing. And notice what Paul said in verse 17 and 18. He said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now then, we are told to use the sword of the Spirit and prayer. What's the sword of the Spirit? The Scripture. That's God talking to us. And we're to use prayer. What's that? Us talking to God. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Paul prayed for the people. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Revival starts when we pray for one another and we pray for the lost. Revival starts when I look at myself and see my need, and I pray for God to help me, and then I look at my brothers and sisters and pray for them, and then I look at the lost and pray for them. When was the last time you've mentioned someone in private prayer? But then I'll tell you something else. In verse 14, look at the next statement. He said, and turn. Look at that. That's a very important statement. Underscore that. Turn. Turn from what? Your wicked ways. Now I'll tell you what, that's what we need to be doing if we want revival, is to turn from our wicked ways. Quit excusing bad behavior. Quit making excuses for that which is wrong and do what is right. And he says, if you're going to wear my name, you have to turn from that which is evil. You know what, my friend, that shows us? We can't neglect the Bible. Some people have turned away from the Word of God. We need to turn back to it. I'll tell you, in our preaching and in our teaching, here we have the Bible that gives us the answer to life's biggest problems, and sometimes we go to other sources looking for the answer. You know what I'm thankful for? I don't have to have some paper or some school tell me what God said. I have the Word to tell me what God has said. I'm thankful for that. Secondly, in our home life, we need to turn back to God. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, you remember that Paul gives the responsibility of parents to their children. And he said, you're to train them up in the love and the admonition of the Lord. That is your responsibility. Now, the church may be able to help, but I'll tell you, my friend, ultimately, the responsibility for teaching and training your children does not belong to a school, does not even belong to the Bible class. It belongs to you. And many times what I've seen is people get mad at the local church because they say, well, they didn't teach them enough in Bible school. My question is, what have you taught them in the home? If we're not teaching them in the home, we can't expect them just 1 or 2 hours a week to get what they need to be spiritually mature. Revival starts in the home. I have to start with myself. I have to wake up to what I need to be doing. And I tell you, our attitude this week in the home will determine what kind of congregation this will be. But then I'll tell you something else. We need to get rid of ill will towards others. You know, one thing I've noticed about everywhere I've gone, and I haven't been here long enough to know too much, but I will say, since I don't know what I can say, there always seems to be somebody who's mad at somebody else. And I'll tell you one thing I've come to learn. We need to get bitterness out of our heart. I'll tell you what I've done. And this may sound silly to you, but there have been times I've had a problem with the brother, and what I would do is I'd go and sit in their pew and pray for them. And pray for myself. Because sometimes I would think as I sit there, maybe I'm doing something and I need to go to them. And sometimes you can ask, have I done something? And they say no. But all you can do is pray that that relationship be mended. And work on that relationship. We are a family. And the family needs to be, as brothers and sisters in Christ, concerned about one another, not jealous of one another, not putting one another above somebody else. We need to be people who are looking out for one another's soul. That's what the family of God is. That's the wisdom of God in the church. Now, there's obviously some people you're going to click with more than others, but that does not mean that we don't love one another, love everyone, try to help them. And look at the results, he said. I will heal you. And then he says, I will hear you. And I will forgive your sins. He didn't say he might. He said, I would. You know, that's a pattern. And that's where I think we need to begin. Sometimes we have a gospel meeting and we say, well, we're having a meeting. And that's all we do. Put it out there, we're having a meeting. I'll tell you something. A meeting is a good time for us to have revival. But you don't have to wait for a meeting. We can start right now at this congregation waking up to what we need to be. And if you're here and you've never been baptized into Christ, what you need to do is put on Christ and wake up to your need that your sins can be forgiven. Or if you've been wandering away from God and you need to come back to God, now's the time to do it, to get out of that rut before decay sets in and before long your conscience is seared and you no longer care what God says and you go down a road that leads you to eternal death and destruction and hellfire. You need to come back now. Now is always the appropriate time to obey God. And won't you do so as together we stand and sing.